we need to address a brewing controversy that exposes broader issues in AI development credibility. Rio de Janeiro announced they had developed a homegrown large language model, but GitHub analysis suggests it's actually a merge of existing models being presented as original research. This isn't just about one city's AI claims. It reflects much larger problems with AI washing and research credibility.
The technical evidence in the GitHub issue is quite damning. The model architecture, training signatures, and even specific behavioral patterns match existing models in ways that would be virtually impossible if this were genuinely independent development. What makes this particularly concerning is that this appears to be a government-backed initiative, which means public resources were allocated based on false claims about technical capabilities.
From a broader industry perspective, this kind of AI washing is becoming epidemic. Companies and governments worldwide are under pressure to demonstrate AI capabilities, but genuine AI research requires enormous computational resources and specialized expertise. The incentive structure encourages claiming breakthrough capabilities based on repackaged existing work rather than honest assessment of actual contributions.
The international implications are significant because AI capability claims are increasingly tied to national competitiveness narratives. If governments are making policy decisions based on inflated assessments of domestic AI capabilities, it could lead to misallocation of resources and unrealistic strategic planning. Brazil, in particular, has been positioning itself as a leader in AI development in Latin America, so this kind of revelation undermines broader regional AI initiatives.
Moving to platform dynamics, Microsoft is facing significant user backlash over expanding account requirements in Windows 11. The Windows Central reporting suggests users are tired of Microsoft account requirements creeping into everything, and this fatigue could have broader implications for Microsoft's platform strategy.
The Microsoft account expansion reflects a fundamental tension between user privacy expectations and cloud service integration. Microsoft's business model increasingly depends on cloud services and data collection, but users who bought Windows expecting a traditional desktop operating system are finding themselves forced into Microsoft's online ecosystem, whether they want it or not.
What's particularly interesting is how this connects to broader antitrust concerns about platform control. When an operating system maker gradually expands requirements for their own services, it creates competitive advantages for their cloud offerings while making it harder for users to choose alternatives. European regulators are already scrutinizing these kinds of practices under digital markets legislation.
The user response suggests Microsoft may be overplaying their hand here. Windows still has dominant market share in desktop computing, but forcing account requirements on users who specifically chose local-only configurations could accelerate adoption of Linux desktop distributions or alternative platforms. The HN discussion shows many users are already exploring alternatives specifically because of these account requirements.
There's also interesting discussion around historical networking with a piece about ChaosNet from 1981. While this might seem like pure nostalgia, understanding the evolution of networking protocols actually provides valuable context for current infrastructure decisions.
ChaosNet represents an interesting alternative path in networking history. While TCP or IP ultimately won and became the foundation of the internet, ChaosNet had different design principles that optimized for different use cases. Studying these alternative approaches can inform current decisions about protocol design, especially as we consider new networking requirements for edge computing, IoT, and other emerging use cases.
Finally, there's a delightful story about a firewood splitting simulator that's captured the HN community's attention. While this might seem frivolous, it actually represents something important about how we think about skill transfer and simulation-based learning.
The enthusiasm for a firewood splitting simulator reflects broader interest in realistic physics simulation and skill-based gaming. These kinds of detailed simulations can actually be valuable for learning real-world skills, especially for people who don't have access to the actual tools or environments. It's similar to how flight simulators became essential training tools. Sometimes simulation is more effective than direct experience for building specific competencies.